Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jay.
And you're listening to episode fucking 40 of the Salty Mother Clutchers podcast.
What the fuck? I had this kind of thought, like, early on in, I think, season one at some point, they talked about how if you ride a motorcycle, we probably have something in common.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, at the very basic level, it could be riding on two wheels.
Yeah.
However, I think over the last two seasons, we realized that, or I've realized anyway, that, like, there's probably more that divides us than brings us together as motorcycle peoples.
Considering that we basically called everyone fucking garbage and everything that they do sucks.
So, like, I'm learning that motorcycles are fun, but just because motorcycles are good doesn't mean that people who ride them are awesome. And, like, yeah, we made that point over the last two fucking seasons of the podcast. But I'm thinking, like, recently, like, we just finished an election here and, like, all over the news, and we're dealing with COVID fucking bullshit. And I just got to thinking about how weird it is to see online, like, this surgence of, like, anti-vax people and, like, just, like, you know, people showing, like, their weird true colors. And it's like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I've ridden with this person.
Yeah.
And, like, now you're going to throw fucking, like, anti-vax shit at me? And it's like, what the fuck?
Like, all of a sudden, their own social media has turned into, like, the fucking conspiracy theory against everything in the world.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah. And it's...
So, okay. I can understand this thing. We're punk kids, and we grew up being like, don't trust everything you read. Don't trust the fucking government, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then we grew up and we're like, yeah, sure, I'll take this vaccine. I don't give a fuck. And so, like, in a weird way, like, very compliant and not, we're not fighting about it because whatever, right?
Yeah.
But you think, okay, how does that relate to motorcycles? Well, you know, I think a lot of motorcycle people are like, well, damn the man and fuck the government and I'm fucking weird and I'm going to be doing this other thing.
Yeah, sure. Right?
Okay. So then, like, in a weird way, it makes a lot of sense that in the motorcycle community or our friends network of friends who ride motorcycles, who we thought we had things in common with, it turns out they're like, damn the man, fight the government, and I'm not getting a vaccine, and you're all fucking losers.
It's confusing to me because, like, you say, like, even as, like, little punk kids, we're like, yeah, fuck this, fuck the police, fuck whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's because we have seen shit. And, like, fuck the police because the police are brutal.
Yeah.
Like, that's real.
Yes.
I'm like, cool, give me a vaccine. What's the worst thing that's ever happened to me from getting a vaccine since I was a fucking baby. Born? Like, yeah. A baby. Like, nothing. It's all turned out pretty good. So, like, no, don't be like, fuck the government, fuck vaccines. It's like, well, that actually part worked out pretty good so far. But still, fuck the police. fuck the government. Like, that shit, you can see, like, on almost a daily basis and how they are literally fucking you over.
Yeah.
That vaccine's never fucked me over.
No.
So, same. The logic just makes no sense. It makes no sense.
The argument is that these people are getting their news from, like, the real news places.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course. And if you would open your eyes and start looking for it, you would find it too.
And
I'm just not fucking looking. I'm just going to say it. I'm not fucking looking for it.
No. And I don't know where that mentality comes from. That's like, you don't trust the real news, but you trust some, like, unreliable source from, like, Reverend Ricky Dicky Doo from the YouTube. And, like, you're going based on this guy's fucking book that he wrote. And that's, you're like, oh, well, no, dude's a doctor. It's like, you're going to trust one dude who's, like, in the doctor of fucking veterinary school that wrote a book about vaccines. And you're not going to trust, like, the thousands of journalists that are reporting actual facts. Like, it just, it's absurd. And, like, we've seen that. And it's not just anti-vax people. Like, a big one that I noticed in my online feed and shit like that is like vegan shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, and like, you know, we've been vegan, you know, nothing wrong with that. It's totally fine. We're vegetarian.
Yeah. And have been for a few decades.
But there's like, and it's not even, I'm not even going to bitch about preachy vegans. I don't even care about that. Because you know what? Vegan people out there, you're right. Most of you are right. But if you start spewing like illogical, senseless, quote unquote, facts.
Yeah.
From like people that are making all these claims, you're no better than an anti-vaxxer. Like, you're getting your news from unreliable sources and like spewing that back out as if it's fucking gospel.
Yeah.
Again, it's like motorcycles. We have this in common with people, like vegetarian, vegan people. Like, we have something in common. Obviously, there is a huge disconnect in our personalities for like to have someone just be so gullible.
Yeah.
And maybe that, again, comes back down to...
They'd throw that argument right back in your face.
How? What do you mean?
Well, they'd be like, no, you're gullible. You're not. You're just going to believe someone said, take this vaccine. You're just going to believe it.
I know you are. What am I?
Right.
But yes, I do. Like I said, because a vaccine's never wronged me. You know, the police definitely have.
So what you're saying, you're not a scientist and you can't just burn some stuff up and figure it out.
No. And like the amount of, I have to do a whole lot of research to like debunk some of this horseshit too.
Yeah.
Because they go, oh, so-and-so said this here and this person must be right. They post a little meme or a screenshot of their book or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, who the fuck is this person? They literally went to like be a fucking dentist, wrote a book on psychology.
Yep.
And it's like, now you're taking that as gospel. And also this person happens to be like a Holocaust denier. It's like, dude, did you Google this person's name before like spewing all their face all over your social media?
Absolutely not.
That's the real news, right? It's like, fuck off.
One time, this is like sort of related, sort of unrelated, but one time I have this friend that posted this like really like inspirational meme, and it's got like the portrait of literally a cult leader. And it says like some beautiful things like cherish the beautiful beings and humans on earth, you know? And it's like, okay, well, that's cool. But I don't know if you know this, but that is a known cult leader.
Yeah.
And this is not a positive vibe at all.
No, like this person is known for abusing like hundreds, if not thousands of people. And oh no, but it was a beautiful quote.
You know, I think like the motorcycle community is a fucking cult.
I think it is too. Like, you just follow blindly, like, whatever it is you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And that's that.
And you follow whatever company that, that's supposed to be, like, selling to you their thing. And you just buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, the brands are the cults. And you follow these fucking influencers. Like, it's fucking horseshit.
Yeah. And, like, we've talked about that on the Sheeple episode.
Yeah.
With, like, these fucking Harley dudes. Because it's like... Oh, I'm free thinker, I'm individual, fuck the man, gonna do this. Meanwhile, you put on your vest costume, y'all ride away with matching Harleys with matching fairings, and like going to fucking like motorbike dance class. Like, I don't, like, it's so conforming. It's like, we're doing this thing because it's anti-conformist, but you're literally just conforming to a stereotype.
Yeah, to that stereotype.
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
I mean, this whole episode could be a fucking sucks.
It kind of is.
Every episode is a fucking sucks.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's easy to shit on conspiracy theorists and, like, anti-vax people and fucking, like, flat earth bullshit and stuff like that. It's easy to shit on it, but it's like, I guess I'm just more, like, so confused.
Yeah. I wonder
maybe
what...
that's because I am I'm the confused one.
You are confused.
The media is confusing me.
I wish that I did a poll on like my Instagram or something to like my bikers only friends and been like, are you anti-vax or are you vaccinated? And I think I'd be shocked at what the result would be.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of my and probably yours too, like a lot of my close personal friends are vaccinated and that's that. Like, just whatever. But... not all.
Yeah, no, there's definitely going to be a good amount. And I think because, again, we've said this on the podcast before, because the biker community is not as fucking like leftist as they think they are. They're actually very conservative.
Yeah.
And very like homophobic and transphobic. They're very sexist. They're, you know, they are actually way more right wing than they probably want to lead people to believe.
Yeah.
Being like a fucking outlaw. Like so I forget where I was going with that. But fuck that shit.
Oh my God, this is going to be the least funny episode we ever recorded.
Why?
Well, because we're very, very passionate and serious about it.
Tell me a joke then. I don't know.
Knock, knock.
Fuck.
My name's Brian Sharp. I've been riding for, I think, I just figured it out today, 14, 15 years. But technically, I started when I was like 8, but I don't know if that counts.
You can count if you want.
There's a big gap. There was a huge gap between then and now. And I ride a V-Strom 650 adventure bike with knobby tires and like saddlebags and all that kind of stuff on it. I like going off-roading.
Sweet. And what year is that, did you say?
2013.
You got that bike new, didn't you?
Almost new. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's my third bike, I guess, technically.
What did you ride before that?
A terrible bike, but it was comfortable for a passenger. It was a Suzuki. It was another Suzuki, but it was a Boulevard,
cruiser. Oh, yeah. A terrible bike indeed.
Yeah.
So yeah. What was it about the Boulevard that was like not doing it?
I don't like floorboards. I think that's what it is.
Okay, I hear you.
We're on the same page already. And you're like, all right, so adventure bike for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had to ride with floorboards once when I borrowed my father's Yamaha V-Star, and it fucking drove me mental the whole time.
The one time I did the Cabot Trail was with that bike, and every corner I scraped the floorboards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nerve-wracking. Yeah.
Last year, I broke down on the Cabot Trail and had to take my dad's Honda Shadow back home for a month. And that had floorboards, and I was fucking scraping those things all over the place. It sucks.
And it would make more sense if the floorboards were for the passenger instead of the driver.
Actually, a funny thing, I just posted a photo of this the other day, too. A couple of years ago, I was riding a bike for someone who was just buying it, and it was like a, I don't know, 2000-something 250 Virago. So, like, a tiny little dinky bike. But the passenger seat had fucking floorboards. And it's like,
who's taking a passenger on a 250 Virago?
It's like, the floorboards are bigger than the fucking seat. Like, it's so strange.
Maybe it's for, like, a kid to stand up on or something. So they can see over their dad or their mom driving.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Do you still dress all in fluorescent safety gear?
Head to toe. Yeah. Head to toe. I've gotten a little bit better. I've gotten a little bit riskier. Sometimes I'll wear just jeans. Sometimes.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck.
But I still can't get away. I have to wear a safety vest and also, you know, my motorcycle shoe boots. Just because I know anything else will just come flying off. If
right.
If I got into an accident. And full face helmet.
So what is it about like the risk that makes you like wear all the gear? Is it because I know also, and we'll talk about your instructor life a little bit. No, that didn't happen.
No, we won't. Talk
almost
about
happened.
That.
No, I thought it did happen.
I know. Okay. That's very frustrating.
Okay.
No, it didn't happen.
I'll not bring that up.
We will not bring that part up.
It's a little sore point. I could go on for an hour.
Oh, it's true. Actually, the story is pretty fucking ridiculous.
Well, we can hear the story, but I want to know like what's with the risk factor? Like, has something happened in the past, or you're not like I know risk is kind of relevant to the rider, and everyone takes their own risk when they get on a bike. But like you know, you draw your line at a certain point. Like, am I going to wear sandals or not? So like, how did you land where you landed?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess I've always been a bit of a daredevil doing crazy stuff my whole youth, especially when I was a teenager. I used to parkour climb buildings and stuff like that with, you know, no safety concerns whatsoever. But I guess I know what can happen on a bike if something goes wrong. And you dress for an accident, not for not for if things go well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually feel more comfortable and confident riding with full gear. And I realize that riding confident is more important than riding necessarily safe. Because you lose your confidence, and that's the biggest risk to doing something stupid.
Yeah, totally.
For sure.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I guess I ride for the weather too. I mean, I dress for the weather as well, but I actually feel more comfortable with more gear on, except for on those crazy hot days, you know, where it's like 40 degrees Celsius or something like that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I feel much more comfortable wearing more gear.
And
plus, there's less likely a bee to go right up my sleeve, somehow make it to my armpit, and sting me to death.
God, that's happened. If you've listened to many episodes of this show, you'd know that happens to me all the fucking time.
Okay, the short version of the story, there's only one program in Canada that's recognized to teach motorcycle safety. It's called Gears Up or Gearing Up.
Yep.
They only need so many instructors per region. There was an opportunity for me to teach in New Brunswick, but there's this crazy thing where, and this is actually, I think, illegal. It's against the agreements between the provinces, but I couldn't teach in New Brunswick unless I had a New Brunswick license plate or license to drive. I had to be a resident of New Brunswick to teach through that program.
So your driver's license was basically invalid. To teach.
So I can only do it in PEI, but there's such a low demand for teachers, they only need like four for the whole region,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, spots don't open up that often. And so I applied the last time that they opened up, and basically they said that everybody was a great candidate, so they just picked the first two people that applied, and I just wasn't the first two.
Oh, fuck.
Because you even went and, you basically did, a bike interview, right? Did the course, and you...
Yeah, got to the interview stage.
They completely...
They said I was a great rider, and obviously would be a good teacher, but they, you know, just decided to pick the first two, because everybody was great.
That's so fucking stupid!
Yeah,
that's
bizarre.
I know. I'm wondering if they already had the first two picked and they just needed to,
because Jimmy and Ricky were their buddies and they've been teaching the course for 3 years.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brian.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, I try to make generous assumptions, but that's probably what happened.
Yeah. So did you take a safety course? Is that a dumb question or?
No, actually that's one of the requirements. So I had, I had taken it. Yeah, it was not the thing that got me on a bike again, but it was the easiest way to get my license too and get better insurance.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't understand why people don't go that route just for those reasons alone. Even of course all the safety benefits, but you just get your license so much quicker.
Yeah, and I also wasn't 100% sure I'd be up to it, because up until then I had never really ridden a bike on the highway. I'd been in back roads with my cousin's motor's dirt bike, every summer since I was six. But it's not the same as riding on an actual highway opposite 14 wheelers, or 18 wheelers.
Yeah.
You know, so I was a little nervous about am I going to be comfortable doing this? So I kind of cheated. So I took the course, which made me feel confident. And then, you get that permit before you take your test to get your license.
Yeah.
And while I had the permit, I went around and test drove a bunch of other people's motorcycles, just people who are selling their bikes.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You were basically responding to Kijiji ads, and were like, "Can I test drive this?"
Yeah, and I was I was looking for a bike too, but I was actually really also figuring out, do I really want to do this?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I would love to take the course again just for the fuck of it.
Yeah, that was the other thing too. I wanted to, because you're when you become an instructor, you have to take the course again, and they give you another course on how to teach the course.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that just at the very least, even if I couldn't teach, because really the teaching only amounts to 3 or 4 weekends a year. It's not a huge commitment or a way to make a living or anything like that. It's just something to do for fun. And all I was really after was more experience.
I remember whenever we took the course, or I guess we took the course around the same time, Aaron and I, but the weekend that I went, like after the course was done and like they set up like the big test fucking maze or whatever the fuck it is. And like we were struggling to get through it, but we all passed. And then like they're right before they take everything down, a couple of the instructors got their own bikes into the lot. And it's like a huge Harley, like with the super wide, like highway pegs and crash bar and everything. And like watching that guy fly through this fucking course on that bike, just for the fuck of it at the end, I was like, oh, you can get real good at this.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, I want to be better. Like I passed, but like, you know, barely.
Yeah, especially when you watch those YouTube videos, you sometimes go down that rabbit hole where just watch like big fails and you see guys who've obviously bought the most expensive bike they could find. They've only been riding for a week and they crash into a car in a parking lot.
Yeah. And on that topic, have you had any pants shitting moments?
Let's see. I mean, some of them were ridiculous. I'll tell you the worst one last, but one of them was I was in the woods by myself and I decided to turn around because I'm like, oh, there's nothing but bushes in front of me. There's no more trail. I mean, I could crash through it, but I don't know what's on the other side. And as I was trying to rock the bike around to just turn around in this like, you know, very narrow path, it was probably just slightly wider than the bike itself. The bike tipped over and I'm like, oh no, 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 no. And it just slowly, slowly tipped over, but it tipped over on a hill. So I was suddenly facing downhill with the bike slowly coming down on top of me. And I'm trying to make sure my leg doesn't get caught at the same time. Luckily it was all in like extreme slow motion.
Yeah.
But I was like, if I get stuck in the woods, trapped under my own motorcycle, I'm an idiot. This is the worst. Yeah. So luckily, I spent half an hour trying to figure out how am I going to lift the bike up without it flying down the hill on its own.
Oh, God.
Of just the angle it was at, right? And I'm like, oh my God, or getting more in trouble.
Was that your current bike?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I hope it wasn't the Boulevard.
I was just trying to visualize. No. Yeah.
If
are you
in the Boulevard? I would have been calling for help.
Like, are you in the woods on a Boulevard? I love that for you.
Yeah.
Well, that was the other one that was really an oh shit moment. It was actually when I went to get the Boulevard. So I was test driving it, and Jaslyn was on the back with me, and I whipped down this road that I thought I knew, and all of a sudden it turned to gravel. Like, instant. And I saw the sign out of the corner of my eye. I was like, oh, I didn't have enough time to slow down. I think I was going 80. And so instinctually, I hit the brake as I hit the gravel, which made me fishtail.
Uh-huh.
I immediately let go of the brake because I'm like, oh, that's going to kill me. And just rolled to a stop. But it scared the shit out of both me and Jaslyn. Jaslyn actually, it twisted so much that her leg flew up and hit the side of the bike and she hurt her ankle on the bike.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
And this is a brand new bike I haven't even purchased yet. Right? I'm just test driving it. I'm like, oh, if I bring back a broken bike, oh, this is just not good.
So
not good,
this not is good. Pants shitting on multiple levels then.
Oh, God.
Oh, multiple.
Double
multiple
pants
levels.
Shitting.
And there was a moment where I was like, maybe I should walk away from this. Maybe this was the one moment, you know, the scary moment where you're like, that was close. That could have been really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We could have both ended up in the hospital or worse. So I was like, nah. And then I gave myself a week to like stew on it. And eventually I was like, no, I like riding too much.
Yeah. It's just too fucking fun.
It's just too fun.
I mean, having a passenger would have, elevated the anxiety or something about all that. Like, like you're probably instinctually going to let go of your brake, but you don't know what that person on the back is going to do. Yeah. Like, are they going to start like flapping their wings and trying to fly away? Or like, what are they going to fucking do?
Yeah. Sometimes go
lose their balance and fall off or something. I'm like, oh God, don't want to be responsible for that. This is where safety Sam comes in to mind.
I call you safety man.
What you call me?
Safety man. Safety man.
Yes. Safety man. But it's like knowing where you're going, what your route's like ahead of time, I realized was way more important than I thought. You know, I like the idea of just randomly turning down roads and going somewhere new every time, which I do on my bike by myself. no problem, because I've got the tires for it. I can hit gravel at 60 or 80 and it won't, nothing happened.
It's
like being on pavement. But when you're traveling with somebody, I realize how important it is to know where you're going before you leave. You know the route a little bit, at least, so where to slow down
and
if there's going to be gravel, and avoid gravel with a passenger. Like, nobody wants that. So that actually helped me be a better rider. That scary, scary, scary moment.
But I think, like you're saying, like, it makes you a better rider. Some of those experiences, I think a lot of people need to have those.
Yeah.
To kind of like put some sort of fear into them, because it makes it more, I don't know, it makes the danger more real, I guess. So I think a lot of people need to see that before they kind of smarten the fuck up.
Yeah
exactly. For sure. I totally agree. Yeah.
Like, I've been riding with a pack for a while. And I have people that, like, before we go riding, they're like, you know, person number one's like, okay, I don't do gravel. Person number two is like, I don't do this, I don't do that. And it's like, okay, that's great. But here's the thing. We don't know if we're going to, you know, come upon some construction. But the other important thing is, if you never ride through fucking gravel, you're never going to get good at it.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sorry, you can't live life like that.
Yeah,
you're,
totally.
You're going to hit gravel someday.
Like, you can't you can't go to do the Cabot Trail and show up, and then Shedded Camp, you have gravel and be like, oh, guess I gotta turn back. Like, no, you gotta deal with some of that stuff.
And I don't know, I think, like, the maybe one of the smartest things you could do is find some gravel and then go ride through it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like do it, like, in a, you know, create the environment, like, for the learning experience. And then that one day when you accidentally, the road ends, and then you're hitting gravel, doing 80 and hitting your brake.
And there's less shit in your pants.
There's less shit.
Which is always
just good. Just slightly less shit.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's really true. That, I do that now a little bit. I still don't know what my limit is on gravel or in dirt. And I've been trying to figure out how to get to that line, like, figure out where that line is, where, okay, that's the fastest I should go. Or that's how much I should lean over in a turn, or I haven't quite figured out. So every now and then I'll just go a little bit faster than I normally do on a turn that I know.
Yeah.
And see how the bike behaves.
Yeah.
And see if I can push it a little bit further, but, you know, without risking my life.
Yeah.
That's why you're a safety man. Because the rest of us just go, oh fuck, that was too fast.
It's like slightly, you're like slightly reckless, but in a very controlled way.
Yeah, controlled recklessness. I like that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a good... That pretty much sums up my whole life.
I have to ask this. There's a... This question we've asked to a couple people that we've interviewed, and their answers have been, like, really fucking lame. But I think you'll have a good answer.
Not all of them.
Okay, we've had a couple good sorry, ones. Everybody. Love you. Anyway, what's in your toolkit? What's something, like, really important to have in your toolkit?
Like the one tool you know, that may not actually come in your toolkit, but you will not leave the house without.
Come on, the one that just pops to
mind. I know, you're like, it's too much is riding on this.
You don't want to be like the others, Brian.
Yeah. Well, on that bike, it's chain lube.
Nice. No one has said that. With me. No one said that before.
No.
Because I don't want my chain to seize up in the middle of nowhere. And I always, after every ride, I lube it up, make sure, while it's still warm, it gets in all the cracks and is still flexible.
Yeah.
What else? A flashlight.
Nice.
A flashlight.
Nice.
Oh, I always have at least two or three snack bars of some kind. Yeah. Driving hangry is the worst.
Yeah. And that's basically all we do is drive hangry.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's a snack bar kind of yeah.
That does remind me of a story though that somebody told me that is worth telling, because it's fucking crazy.
Sweet. Let's hear it.
So it's this guy I met in Atlanta, Georgia. And he's in the film industry like I am. And we were talking about motorcycles. And he's a member of the Iron Pants Club. And the way that you get become a member of the Iron Pants Club is, on specific days that this club, you know, decides, you have to drive 1,400 miles in 24 hours.
1,400 miles.
miles what in 24 hours.
What are we at in kilometers here?
I don't know what that is.
I'm gonna look it up. I'll look it up.
Look it up. Look it up. It's probably
about 20,000 then.
It's a really far distance. So obviously, to do that, you probably have to go over the speed limit and drive almost all day.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was doing it with a buddy of his, and he fell asleep at the wheel. And the only thing that saved his life is his buddy bumped his handlebars that woke him up. The reason why his buddy bumped his handlebars is because he fell asleep at the wheel too, but pulled back on the throttle and accelerated into him.
Oh my God.
And they're both alive. They didn't have an accident. Like,
what?
Did they get their medal?
Yes, they did. They did. Whoa. But I heard that story and I'm like, okay, that is a hardcore. I would never do that in a million years.
But did they pull over right after that? Or they just keep going like, oh, thanks, bud.
No, they both were so shocked by what happened. They both pulled over and I guess shit their pants, cleaned their pants up, and then carried on.
Oh, God. Oh, my fuck.
Yeah.
You know what fucking sucks?
What fucking sucks?
Being overtaken or overtaking another rider.
Yep.
I'm not talking about like a stranger on the highway. I mean like someone that you're riding with fucking overtakes you on the inside or...
And just like fucks off, they keep going? Like, or they're just like dicking around?
No, not dicking around. They're just going. Oh. And now you're not. Or like they're just basically passing you and have no respect for you in your lane. And then, or like if you say you're in like a pack ride and then you see like someone do that to someone else, you just pass them. And it's like, no, dude, you're not next.
Yeah, it's annoying.
I'm thinking about it because it just happened to me recently. I saw both of those things on the same ride.
Mm-hmm.
But I was riding with someone. Like I was lead bike and I don't know this person well, but we were riding together.
Yeah.
And we were making our way like home. So it's just two bikes and she fucking passed me.
And then left.
And then left.
Yeah. It's a fucking dick move.
It's like,
it's a dick move.
Excuse me? You did what now? And then there wasn't like a fucking emergency. Like she didn't like shit her pants or anything. Like she just was over it, then passed me and left. And the same person passed two other people in a pack ride that we were in, passed them to even get behind me. And it's like, no.
Yeah. I mean, it's just disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I think if you do that in a group, because like, say we'll do like a group ride with a bunch of people that we don't normally ride with.
Yeah.
Someone that does that, they're just trying to flex their muscle and they're trying to posture and just like act tough.
Yeah.
So in this case, if you are doing that, like you're legit just giving the middle finger to the people you're just riding with.
I think
so. It's not cool.
And I think like
it's a dick move.
We're not talking about the same thing. Like if everyone pulls up to a stop sign and you end up like being side by side, like you still know your fucking order.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't like just pull out ahead of the other person who's supposed to be the obvious next person in the group.
Yeah.
Like that fucking sucks. It's gross.
Yeah. I can't think of a time like, I don't ride with people because fuck them. But like, I would imagine that would be pretty fucking garbage. I think it's a dick move.
Yeah, it is a dick move.
Like, I think when doing it on the highway with strangers, like, it's still a dick move, even though you're like, this person is going like 50.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to go around them. I'm going to be a dick and go around them. That's just, but that's, you know, being a dick and it's fair.
I mean, I think we've done it to each other a bunch, but it's like on purpose because we're fucking around together.
Yeah.
And like, or like you might like overtake me or I might overtake you because like we're holding like a fucking camera in our hand.
Yeah. If we're fucking around doing videos and shit, yeah, it's going to look a little messy. It's not, you're going to be your perfect riding form.
Yeah. That plus I would trust you to ride past me in my lane.
Yeah.
Like I would have no concern over that. Cause yeah, we've been fucking doing that together for over a decade, but like someone I don't really know, like you better not fucking pass me on the inside.
Yeah. I mean, now if I pass you on the inside and you say you didn't even see me coming and I'm just like sneaking up there, you probably don't have to worry about it. It's more like someone's getting their picture taken.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, because that's all I'm doing.
Yeah, I know.
Or I'm out of gas.
Yeah, or you gotta communicate something.
Yeah, I shit my pants.
You shit in your pants?
Gotta pull over, bitch.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that. That is the biggest fucking pet peeve that I might have. It's not, but It's pretty fucking up there.
Yeah, fuck those people. Hi, I'm gay.
And I tried every single Harley, and I'm like, God, none of them are, only one of them was comfortable, slightly comfortable to ride.
Ding dong.
Because I haven't quite got to that point where I shit my pants on my bike with the knobby tires, because it just sticks to the road so well.
Hi.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, double pan shitty.
I didn't have any gin before we started.
Let's cheers to motherfucking 40.
Yay! 40 episodes! Yeah. Who's Brian anyway? Fuck off! Get away from my fucking door!
Fuck off with your jokes. Fuck that.
It's 2253 kilometers.
We're gonna do this on Patreon so everyone can see my tits.
See your tits are fucking awesome.
You're gonna have to pay for that.